And this is the first day. It's a week before Jesus was crucified on the cross. And many things happened during this week that is known as Passion Week. I want to speak to you about the beginning of it all, Jesus' triumphant ride into the city of Jerusalem. I want to share with you some things that you probably haven't heard before. And I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 19 and verse 28. After this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as they were told. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices with all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground with your children within the walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.' Then he entered the temple area and began driving out those who were selling." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day and for all that you're doing in our lives. What an adventure you've put us on. Some of us thought the days of adventures were all finished, but not so. For these are the days of great adventure in the purposes of God. And we go forth with great courage and great strength in the name of the Lord Jesus. And now as we look to your word, we ask that you would speak to our hearts and show us the things that you would have us to see. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, as you know, is on the Mount of Olives. On the far side of the Mount of Olives, that is on the eastern side, facing towards India, there are two small towns that bump up against each other. One is Bethphage, and the other is Bethany, the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and Simon the leper, who was healed. And Jesus and his disciples are coming from Jericho, which is 20 miles downhill. And they've climbed up this big hill, and they've come to these villages. And just as they're coming, Jesus says to his disciples, "Go to the village ahead of you, and there you will see a donkey with a colt. Untie them and bring them to me." And he does. And of course, the people say, "What are you doing?" And they say, "The Lord has need of them." Now, the Lord was already famous because he had healed the leper, who was a wealthy, wealthy man. And he also raised Lazarus from the dead in that town. So everybody knew. Just imagine if somebody in a public square raised somebody from the dead in Charlotte. The news would be there. Everybody would know about it. And before long, that person would become very, very famous. Well, it wasn't just that, because Jesus was doing miracles everywhere. And the news of what he was doing spread all over the place. And so when this person said, the Lord has need of this donkey, they said, yes, please help yourself. And so Jesus, why was Jesus wanting to get on the donkey to go into Jerusalem? Do you think he was tired? Well, he was tired a lot, but he never got on a donkey and went into Jerusalem at any other time. So I don't think it was because he was tired. What could have been the reason why he wanted to do this? Do you think he wanted to get up on a mount so that people could praise him and look at him? Absolutely not. Because he knew that in less than a week they would be saying, crucify him. He was not affected by the crowd and popularity. And so, what was the reason then? He had to get on this horse, on this donkey, and come into Jerusalem to fulfill a prophetic word spoken by the prophet Zechariah. It's the same Zechariah who prophesied over the rebuilding of the temple. When the temple foundations were laid, there was an attack against it. And for years, the work of restoration to the temple stopped. And the Bible says Zechariah spoke out and prophesied. And faith came into the hearts of people, and they began to rebuild the temple again. This same Zechariah prophesied. You can read about it in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. This is what it says. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Zechariah had prophesied that the Savior, the King of Jerusalem, the King of the whole world, would be riding on a donkey and coming in. And that he would be gentle. And that he would have the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And the ministry of salvation would be coming through him. Zechariah prophesied it. But there was more to it than that. Because this is mentioned at other places in the Old Testament. The Jewish people knew that one day, the Messiah, they were looking for the Messiah. You know who the Messiah is? The Messiah is the Christ. He is the bright shining light for Israel. He is the one who would be sent from heaven and would set the people free and establish his kingdom on the earth. How many of you love Jesus Messiah? Can I see your hands? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you see, this prophecy about Messiah coming, that all the Jewish, the Orthodox people knew. They didn't understand that it was Jesus. But they knew the Messiah was coming. And that when he came, he would be the king who brought salvation. And he would be riding on a donkey. We read also about this in the book of Ezekiel. Come to Ezekiel chapter 44. Chapter 43. Let's go to Ezekiel 43. In Ezekiel 43, look at this in verse 1. It says, then the man brought me to the gate facing east. What gate is facing east on the Temple Mount? It is the Eastern Gate, also called the Golden Gate, also called the Beautiful Gate. And the Muslims call it the Mercy Gate. And the man brought me to the gate facing east, and I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. Now, what is the glory of the Lord that's coming from the east? It's a person. Because he says, his voice was like the roar of rushing waters, and the land was radiant with his glory. The vision I saw was like the vision I had seen when he came to destroy the city and take the, and like the visions I had seen by the river, the Kebar River, and I fell face down. The glory of the Lord entered the temple through the gate facing east. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. This is a picture of the King of Glory coming from the east, coming through the eastern gate, and coming up onto the Temple Mount. And His glory is radiant. The land around Him is radiant. The glory of God fills the temple when Jesus comes. Woo! Ezekiel prophesied it. Zechariah prophesied it. Well, let's look at another scripture in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 1. Then the man brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, the one facing east. Which one is that? The eastern gate. And it was shut. The Lord said to me, "This gate is to remain shut. It must not be opened. No one may enter through it. It is to remain shut because the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered through it." The Prince, another name for Jesus, the Prince Himself is the only one who may sit inside the gateway to eat in the presence of God, of the Lord. So here's another great prophecy. You see, the Jewish people, the rabbis, the Pharisees, they knew very well what the Scripture said. They were looking for the Messiah. So every scripture in the Old Testament that had to do with the coming Messiah, that was a huge focus for them. So many of the people were looking for the day when the Messiah would come. Jesus said, "You missed the day of your visitation," because they didn't readily receive Him. Although many of them did, many of the leaders did not. They were still looking. And they knew that when Messiah came, He would be riding on a colt. Tradition says that the Jewish people believed He would be riding on a white donkey. And He will come from the Mount of Olives down to the Kidron Valley and up and enter through the eastern gate, which is right there. So now Jesus is about to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. Whew. It's no wonder that somebody was not happy. It's no wonder that the Jewish people were furious when Jesus started to come. And He went right up to the Temple Mount. And He said, "This house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. But you have made My Father's house a den of thieves." This was the beginning of this Passion Week. We go again to the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, and we read some more of what the Jewish people knew. In Zechariah 14, we find about the second coming of the Lord. It says in verse 2, "I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, and the women raped. Half of the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as He fights in the day of battle. On that day, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south." What an amazing story. This is still to happen. An earthquake will come to Jerusalem that will precipitate the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord. And when the Lord comes, He's going to land on the Mount of Olives. Actually, He's going to be riding a white horse when He comes again. And the mountain is going to split. Some of it will go north and some of it will go south. It will split and bust open the eastern gates. And the King of Glory shall rend the heavens and come down. The King of Glory shall go from that place on the Mount of Olives. His feet will touch there. And then He will ride that white horse, that spirit horse. And He will ride it right down the Kidron Valley and up onto the Temple Mount. And He will bring the glory of heaven with Him, the power of Almighty God. And it will radiate in all the land round about. And His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom that shall touch all the nations of the world, and he from that place will rule and reign. Now, in the time of Jesus, when he got on this donkey and he started to come down the Mount of Olives, why did he need the donkey? Not because he was tired, not because he wanted to show off, because he was fulfilling the eternal purposes of God. It had to do of the first of two comings, the first time when he came as a lamb. The Bible says, "Behold your king riding on a donkey, gentle and full of salvation." He came that first time as a lamb. All the people who were hungry for truth and hungry for love and hungry for the purposes of God opened their hearts. They got palm branches out. You know the story. That's why we call it Palm Sunday. They got branches from the trees round about. In John chapter 12, verse 12, it says they got palm branches and they began to wave them and they said, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King, Hosanna to the King of David. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the God of Israel." And they began to wave all these. Do you know what the waving of the palm branches is all about? If you go to Revelation, maybe you could put this up, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, it says, "And there was a crowd in heaven, a multitude that nobody could count, from every tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, and they were wearing white robes." And what were they holding in their hands? They were holding palm branches in their hands. This is a picture halfway through the great tribulation. It's a prophetic picture of heaven when all those who were in heaven, people who got saved during the great tribulation. The Bible says it's the greatest revival of all time. People from every nation, from every language, from every people group, they're in heaven dressed in white. If you go down to the 13th verse of that same chapter, it says, "Where do these people come from?" And the answer is, these are those who were saved out of the great tribulation. And these are the ones who have their robes white. You see, it says there, these are those who have come out of the great tribulation. A great revival, the greatest revival of all of history. And they had their clothes changed. They're in white robes and they're carrying in their hands the palm branches. I don't know where they're going to get palm branches in heaven, but there must be palm trees there if there's palm branches. And they're going to be waving them. How many will it be? 1 billion? 2 billion? I don't know, but you can't count them. There's too many. And they come from every nation. They're coming from Iraq. They're coming from Venezuela. They're coming from Cuba. They're coming from the 1040 window. They're coming from Japan. They're coming from the distant coastal lands. They're coming from the United States of America. They're coming from South Africa. They're coming. They're all standing there and they're waving their palm branches. And when the palm branches wave in the Bible, when you look at the Psalms, it is a call to Messiah to come. It's saying, "Come, Jesus. Come, Lord God. Come, Messiah. Come and take your throne." That's what the waving of the palm branches are. So when Jesus was riding on this donkey on Passion Day, and he's on the Mount of Olives, and he gets on this little donkey, and he starts riding down into the Kidron Valley, and then up to the Eastern Gate. Everyone is waving palm branches, and they're singing the songs of welcome to the Messiah. And all of the Pharisees are saying to Jesus, "Stop your disciples from doing this. Who do you think you are?" They were so angry. It says from that time on, they wanted to kill him. But he said, "If I tell them to stop, even the rocks will cry out." Nothing can stop the praise and the purpose and the glory of God. This was such a special day. What Jesus did was not just a Sunday school story. It was not just a fancy little painting for the front of an Easter card. This was the King of Glory taking his rightful place on that donkey. We read in the book of Revelation. Please turn there with me to Revelation chapter 19. And we read there in verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse. Say white horse. Whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter. So here we see Jesus in his second coming. He's riding a horse. It's the spirit horse. It starts, "Behold, the heavens opened, and I saw a white horse." And Jesus comes riding on this white horse. He has a sword in his hand. And all the armies of heaven are with him. They're all riding spirit horses. This includes people. If you get to heaven before I do, you can pick out your horse before I do. Because if you love Jesus, he didn't just die to save you. He died for you to partner with him for his glory coming to this planet. And when he returns, you will come riding on a white horse. If you never learned how to ride a horse, you will get trained real quick. And the whole of heaven, all the armies of heaven, will come charging down, praising the Lord Jesus. And when they land on the planet, Jesus is landing on the Mount of Olives. His feet will touch there. Then he's going to get back on that horse. And he's going to do what he did on a donkey. Only this time, he is not coming as the lamb. He is coming as the Lion of Judah. Who breaks every chain. Who puts everything right. The book of Revelation is the fulfillment of everything Jesus paid for on the cross. Whew. So here's this Jesus. And he's sitting on a donkey. And he's ready to ride into Jerusalem. He's going to come through the Eastern Gate. Now, the Eastern Gate is still there today. There's only 8 gates in the old city of Jerusalem today. And some of them have been remade in the last 500 years. The Eastern Gate is the oldest gate that's there. Now, when you go and look at it, it's not that one. It's actually underneath. A couple of hundred years ago, there was an archaeologist who was working at the foot of that Eastern Gate, and it's full of tombs. And he didn't know that he was standing on one, and it broke open, and he fell into a mass grave with bones all around him. And he had a flashlight that he reached up and he got, and he saw the top of the arch of the original Eastern Gate, which is below the Eastern Gate that is there. Those gates go back to 600 years before Christ. The time of Nehemiah. That's when the Eastern Gates were built. But about 500 years ago, the Muslims from Turkey invaded Israel. And they took possession of Jerusalem. Their leader was called Suleiman the Magnificent. And he heard rumors that there was a Jewish Messiah that was going to come. And that they would not be able to stop him. And that he was a military commander. And that he was going to break through the Eastern Gate. So he ordered it blocked up and shut. He didn't know he was fulfilling prophecy. Because Ezekiel said, 2,000 years before that, he said, "And this gate shall be shut up because the Messiah has gone through it. And it cannot be opened until Messiah opens it." So the Muslims fulfilled prophecy. And they blocked it all up. And then they put graves in front of it. Muslim graves. Because they said that a Jewish Messiah cannot stand on graves. It's an unclean place for him. So surely this will stop this Messiah from coming. He doesn't know about the earthquake. But Suleiman the Magnificent fulfilled prophecy. And this is such a powerful word that in 1967, when the Jewish people owned the western part of Jerusalem and the Jordanian Arab peoples owned the eastern part of Jerusalem and all the Dead Sea area. And in that 6 days war, the commandos from the Israel army said, let's sneak around to the other side of the wall and blow a hole through the eastern gate and take the Egyptian army by surprise. And they had an Orthodox Jew in the commander's team. And he said, you cannot do that. Only the Messiah can open this gate and come through there. So even though it was a very wonderful strategic move, all the soldiers backed down and said, we'll wait for Messiah to do it. And they didn't do it, but they won the war. When Jesus comes, it's going to be bust open. Now let's go back to our original scripture as we begin to close this message. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus tells his disciples in verse 30, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. This is an amazing picture, because if you get a colt or a horse that nobody's ever ridden, and you sit on it, you're going to be at the rodeo. You're going to have the ride of your life. That's going to become a bucking donkey. And it's going to get you off that horse. I love to ride horses. I once won a little award for riding a horse. But I used to be a youth leader, and I would take all of our young people horseback riding up in the mountains, close to where we lived, a couple of hours from where we lived. And I remember bringing, maybe 40 teenagers, and we went horseback riding. And because I was the leader, they gave me the biggest horse. This horse was huge. It was all black, and it was called Pearl. And I managed to get up on top of this horse. And I looked down on everybody else. It was like a giant horse. And so then we went on our trail ride, and this horse that I was on, its tail was swinging back and forth, and somehow a thorn bush got stuck in his tail, and the branch came loose and stayed in his tail. And then as his tail went around to get rid of the flies, he pricked himself with these thorns. So I'm riding on this horse, and we're coming out of the forest, and all of a sudden, this horse starts bucking. I didn't know what happened, but he was, the back end was going up. Before the back end came down, the front end went up. And I was sitting on the back of this thing, and all of the youth leaders, all the young people thought this was really great. I was really showing them how to do this thing, and I was riding, and I was doing a great job until the saddle got loose. And the saddle just went sideways. And I went flying off somewhere over there in the bushes. But I was unscathed. And they tightened up the saddle and took the thorns away, and I got back up on the horse. But if you get on a horse that's never been ridden before, or a donkey, he's going to throw you off. Kind of reminds me of the human personality. Nobody wants anybody to rule them. Nobody wants anybody to be in charge of their life. And the Lord says, go and get a colt from that village. Maybe that colt is you today. Go and get a colt from that village, one that nobody has ever ridden on. And come and bring him to me. And you don't want anyone to rule your life. Except Jesus. This is the key to your future. It's the key to the blessings of God. It's the key to every good thing. If you say, Lord, I yield myself to you. I want to be part of the end time triumphal procession. And Lord, I belong to you. whatever you want me to do, whatever my part is to play, I give my life to you. And Jesus gets on this colt, and he's gentle. He's submitted. And this colt becomes famous. This becomes a famous colt, because no other colt has ever had this honor like this colt had. And I wonder if you've become famous because you've given your life to Jesus and you're part of his program, part of his miracles, part of his coming. Behold, the King is coming. And are you saying, here I am, Lord. I'm part of the committee. I'm partnering with you in the end time purposes of God. Well, Jesus got on this colt and he went down the Kidron Valley, and then he came up to the Temple Mount. Probably before he got onto the temple, he had to dismount. I'm sure they wouldn't have allowed a colt up on that Temple Mount. But without a doubt, he went through the Eastern Gate. And now he's coming back again. And we are here. Some of us may actually be there. You might be on one of our tours in Israel. We might be at the Mount of Olives when the eastern sky opens and the King of Glory comes riding on a white horse and he's about to make the triumphal march through the Eastern Gate again. When he does come into the atmosphere, it says that he'll come with a shout and the last trump, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with him in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. But wherever he is, that means that's where we're going to be. Only he's not telling the horse to fly back. He's coming down to land on the Mount of Olives and to fulfill the processional, the triumphant processional into the Temple Mount. And when he comes, the whole place will be radiant with his glory. It will be absolutely magnificent. Everything will start to change like this. That's the way your life is meant to be. For the path of the just is as a bright shining light that gets brighter and brighter until the full brightness at noonday. So Jesus coming 2,000 years ago on a little donkey, that was his lamb appearance. In a short time from now, his lion appearance will take place. And the question is, are you a disciple from Bethany? From the place where he is welcome, where his friends are, where he has a home? Are you available to be that colt that says, Lord, yes, use me. I'm going to be a part of this. Whew. Now the Holy Spirit is moving in this place right now, because there's so many things he does before his coming. He's given us his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit releases power and healing and his glory. I'm going to ask you to stand now, and we're going to pray together for a moment for the increased power of the Holy Spirit and for you to find your place in the service of the King. For you to start by saying, Lord, yes, I give my colt to you. I give my life to you. He's the King of Glory. You can't take away or add to that. But you can say, I'm part of the team now. So Lord, just open your hands like this in front of you. Would you pray this prayer of dedication? Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for this great day where we recognize your triumphal entry to the Temple Mount for your glory to come. And Lord, we welcome your coming here to our lives, to our families, to this property and this place, that the glory of the Lord will settle here, will move in power here, that amazing miracles will happen here for your glory, We agree now for all of your blessings to come. And whatever you want me to do, I will not be a rebellious horse. But I submit to you. Whatever it takes, I give my back to you. I give everything to you. Lord, come in your glory. We prepare the way of the Lord now. And we speak this in Jesus' name. Now, in the name of Jesus, I speak the blessings of God over your life and the power of the Holy Spirit to you. I speak healing in your physical body, the release of the Holy Spirit. We dedicate this place as a house of healing, a house of miracles and of supernatural power. And I release that to you in the name of Jesus. And I speak the strength of the Lord into your family, into your finances, into the ministry that God's called you to. I speak the rain that comes from heaven to come upon you and to bless you abundantly. For you are always to be the head and not the tail. You are always to be at the top and not at the bottom. You are always to prosper and not to fail. Because you are the people of God. And God has set you above every other people on the earth. And I speak his blessing over your life this day. I release it to you now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.